honestly can't think of a better way to start a sermon where we're going to talk about who we're called to be and how we're called to do it. This letter that Paul wrote, I want to remind you where Paul was when he wrote this letter. He wasn't at the resort that Taylor talked about earlier. He was in prison. And prison back in Christian times, early Christian times, was not what we know of prison today. Essentially, if you wanted to eat in prison, somebody had to bring you food. If you wanted to change clothes in prison, somebody needed to do that for you too. What gets me each and every time I read Paul's letters is the joy, the hope, and the centeredness that he has in his faith in Jesus Christ. And tonight we're going to learn a little bit more about that, and I hope we can grasp on something that will transform something in our life this week. How we interact with our neighbor, our friend, our spouse, our parents, somebody on the tollway. That's usually where I need the most grace. But in this, we're again reminded who we're called to be and given simple directions on how to live it out. Will you pray with me? In the silence of the stars, in the rolling of the hill, in the heaving of the sea, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, in the chatter of a child, in the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the stillness of this room, in the calming and longing of our minds and hearts, we feel you, Lord. I ask to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. Okay, I do want to do a just quick overview because we've started this at the beginning of January and I don't even remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, okay? So the historical context of this letter is Paul is writing to this particular city because they're really balancing what's happening in the world to who God has called them to be, right? And so he's reminding them that they are who they are. They are now Christians, which means they live their lives differently. It means that they don't aren't influenced by some of the things they were influenced before. It means that they pay attention to the child and the stranger. He wrote to have them pay attention to false teachings. Remember, this is the beginning of the start of the church. And Paul wanted them to pay attention of who they were listening to. He also, in that, reminded them that Christ is our Lord and Savior. Again and again and again, he does that in this letter. And that we are redeemed by who? Me? No. Through Christ and Christ alone. Through no other God. Through the love and the grace and the transformation that Christ gives us. He again wanted the people just to be rooted in all that Christ was so that they could live about their lives in a way that is more, I think of it both carefree and heavy, right? That you're grounded, your feet are firmly planted on the ground and centered in what you know about your faith in Jesus. And in that, there is freedom and grace and a purpose of being somewhat carefree. Because in that, you have a new life in Christ. I'm going to read the end of Corinthians today is where we're going to focus. We're going to start in verse 3 12 through 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against one another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love that binds everything together in perfect harmony. We now know what that sounds like, don't we? And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your heart, sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. I'm going to say this verse a lot, so pay attention. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It sounds so simple. Clothe yourselves in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And that love binds us together. As I was getting dressed for church, I think this was like outfit number 3. I was just having one of those days, right? And I had told myself when I was getting ready for church today, I was going to clothe myself and in the words that we said. So I was getting dressed and I put on a boot and I thought, compassion, right? And I put on another boot and I thought, okay, left leg is kindness. And as I buckled my belt, I thought of the other words. And as I left my jacket on the counter, I guess compassion's at home. But what would happen if we were literal with these things that Paul gave us? Because this is what I love about Paul. There's some things when you study, he gives practical, real advice. He doesn't say, put Christ at the center of your life, peace be with you. He says, put Christ at the center of life and gives you a list of words to live out, to be, to aspire to. Because he started this verse with, as God's chosen ones. And I love the reality he puts in here too. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. Because can't you see somebody saying, I'm not forgiving them? And he comes back with, oh really? Who forgave you? God. Are you better than God? No. Yet not in one place in this scripture does it say, be perfect. Time and time again, when he writes, he says, remember who you were called to be. Why? Because we're all human. We all struggle. We all go off the path a little bit sometimes. And when you notice yourself here, he says, put yourself back and remember compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Not only for others, but also for ourselves in our journey with Christ. Another part of this scripture that really jumped out to me was how he talked about the word bearing, to bear, and I left those notes at home, but I know them. The Greek word of bearing is a different type of bear. We don't talk about, oh, I've bared my neighbor's struggles. It's not something we really say. You could say the word, you could say share. I shared with my neighbor in their struggles. You could also say journeyed with. I journeyed with my neighbor in their sorrow or their joy. It means coming together as a community and sharing all the things so that you can bear the weight together, not alone. Now that our boys have moved out, I mean, temporarily, right? They're all coming back in May. Dan and I were moving something, and we're just used to having very large teenage boys in our house to move the things. So we haven't had to do that for a while. And so we were moving something, and he was like, do you want to take the back or the front? And I was like, I don't know, which one's lighter? And he was like, well, we got to do it together. And it really wasn't that bad when we picked it up together and we moved it together. There's no way either one of us could have done it alone. And I think about that if we lift each other up through faith in Christ. As we grow in our compassion and we grow in our love, we are connected. We're called to do this together. I officiated a service on Friday, which is one of the harder services I've done. It was a 44-year-old man who died suddenly. And I did it through a friend of a friend. They weren't church members. Somebody texted me, can you help? Yes. It's the first service I've officiated in a while that wasn't here. And there's just something different at looking in your eyes, knowing that you might be in pain today, but come Sunday, I'm not saying your pain's going to be taken away, but we're going to bear it together. And I was so grateful for my faith when I was driving home that day. I'm not saying this family didn't have faith. I just didn't know them through our church. But what a freeing and humbling and gracious thing that we have that we get to share in this together. We get to bear it together. Because Paul so eloquently says time and time again, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. This rung out to me. We talked about last week how we should order our lives and our families and our workplaces. And this is the verse right before that. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So I put on my shoes, right? Compassion. Kindness. It doesn't work like that, though, right? Like, my right shoe isn't filled with compassion, right? It's got a sports sock hidden underneath. I have to ask for that compassion to be a part of my life. I have to ask for that kindness to be a part of my life so that I can live it out. We see this. I'm going to move on to verse 4. I'm going to read about, 2 through 6, probably. Because here he gives further instructions. In fact, that's what it's called in my Bible. He's concluding this letter now, right? And he's telling them, I've told you who you're called to be. I've told you how to order your households. I've told you to do this together. I've reminded you to center yourselves in Christ. And these are his final instructions. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us as well that God will open us a door for the world, that we may declare the mystery of Christ for which I am in prison, so I can reveal it clearly as I should. Conduct yourselves wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. Do everything that you do as you are worshiping God. Now, I saw this parody of Christians and church and Christians and football. And it was this Christian blogger kind of, in my opinion, making fun of the church for being less excited at church on Sunday and more excited at the football game, right? And as I was watching at first, of course, I'm kind of like, my church is awesome. We all love all the things, all that kind of stuff. Aww. She came for your baptism. I saw something happen. Y'all all went that way. Okay, where was I? Football. Swans and football. And somebody said, well, do you do the same, like, football game every single week? And it's in seasons, right? But let me give you this little highlight of your faith life. This is also in seasons. And we're about to hit a season of Lent, where we are called to reorder our lives, to remember to clothe ourselves with compassion and grace and love, to remember to do this life together. And at the end, what does he tell us to do? To pray, to praise, to remember that God is with you and with me as we do this faith life together. What would your day look like without compassion? Maybe for yourself, maybe for others. What would your day look like without kindness, without humility, meekness, and patience? You see how these things go together? Compassion, meekness, kindness, humility, and all in all, patience. I don't have those things naturally embodied in my personality. I anger quickly. I get frustrated. I want things done my way. Yet when I remember who God has called me to be and what I'm supposed to clothe myself in, I'm better. Not perfect, but I'm better. The service I did on Friday, I just drove home in silence, because sometimes you just have to, right? And Dan had called me and checked on me and said, how are you doing? I said, I'm just so glad I don't do that alone. And he said, oh, was like Arthur or Jimmy with you? No, honey, I was talking about God. And he said, amen. He goes, I'm glad you don't do that alone. I'm glad that you're walking into that room knowing that it is already covered in the love and grace of Christ. That when you leave that room, it goes with you and with them wherever they go. Because that is who we're called to be. There's so many different things that Paul gives us in here about simple practices. Take one. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's singing. Maybe it's writing a list on the mirror of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Because he doesn't just say that to make you better. He says it to make your neighbor better, and your marriage better, and your school better, and your workplace better. Because when you clothe yourselves with Christ, which is what Abby did tonight, you know that's what baptism means, right? To put on Christ. Now, Abby, I hate to tell you this. This does not mean tomorrow you're going to wake up and be the kindest person in the whole world. This is a journey of faith where one day you try to be a little bit more compassionate. One day you try to be a little bit more kind because you've centered your life again in what is ultimate and true. And it's what binds us together. In verse 14, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, as we go out today, we're thankful for the letters of Paul, for this early church community who was learning together how to live a Christian life. And we're both surprised and awe that we can still learn from him today. Let this week be a week where we do clothe ourselves with Christ, where we look around for our community to bear with us whatever we are going through. For that aligns us with your perfect love and brings harmony and peace to whatever circumstance we're in. We say this in your holy and precious name. Amen.